I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We've been looking through the book of Genesis here. Now we look to the life of Abraham for a few Sundays here. We learn from his life of the faithfulness of God and what it is to faithfully walk with Christ through the patient and active work of the Holy Spirit. Because the life of Abraham is one of active faith and of patience. In fact, I think at least two passages here frame his life fairly well for us. If we think of Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's his faith. That's Abraham, his faith. Mark 8 says this, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. This is referring to the patience of Abraham, who awaits the full harvest of God's abundant life. Abram's life is one of patient faith in action, or active faith patiently waiting. Maybe the tagline for Abram's life would be, he journeyed on in active faith and patience. Now, we've been walking through Genesis, and what we've seen is, as God's creating, we have now an exile from Eden and from the garden. And then we've got brother murdering brother. And then we've got Noah's life, and following Noah's life, we have a new garden and a new creation, and we see a new humanity that is taking dominion once again, bearing fruit and multiplying throughout the earth. Humanity is establishing home. The land is being worked. Enter Abram. Abram's life could be given that he might establish for man a sanctuary, a place where God will dwell with his people and his people with God. We share in Abraham's life of faith today through active faith in Jesus Christ as we patiently await the fulfillment of all the promises that find their yes and their amen in Jesus Christ. And so we look at Abraham's life and we're confronted with the questions. Will we wait upon him? Will we walk actively, patiently with our Savior? To that end, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word, living and active, and we pray your blessing upon us as we read, as we hear, as we receive that which you have for us. Would you conform us into the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ? Grow us in his glory, that we might bear fruit in our midst and throughout the world. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to think of faith as a blind leap in the dark, or maybe to think of faith as merely assenting to some truths, it's to misunderstand Abraham's life. His was neither a leap in the dark nor just a mere contemplation. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And our passage, verse 9, ends, he says this, and Abram journeyed on. What we have in these nine verses is we have years of nomadic wandering, of anchoring for a while and moving on, hundreds and hundreds of dusty miles traversed by Abram and families. It is growth of family with sorrowful deaths, and these are all encompassed in a handful of verses. Abram journeyed on. That's how it ends. Abram's motive to journey on, Abram's motive to keep moving is rooted in the fact that God has given him promises. He will be his God, and Abram will be his people. Verse 2 and following, here's the promises. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram's commanded to depart his father's home to establish a house for God's name in the land that God will show him. So if we have in context Genesis, what we have is we've got Noah. He's a faithful priest in the land as it is expanding dominion. And now Abram is to establish a garden sanctuary to be a priest in that land, in that sanctuary. And see, God commands Noah or Abram to go to this land. And he doesn't just command, be fruitful and multiply, but he gives him, graciously supplies Abram with all that he will need to fulfill the tasks set before him. God promised, he says, I will bless you. I will bless you. He promises Abram blessing upon blessing. And what do these promises look like? He says, first off, I will make you a great nation. In Genesis chapter 10, we have everybody's favorite passage. We've got a list of names, a long list of names. Genealogies, who doesn't love them? But what that genealogy, what chapter 10 is showing us, is that the nations are being formed. There's 70 nations, and they're spreading throughout the world. The new humanity is expanding through Noah, through his offspring, and their offspring as they multiply. The nations are growing. And in the midst of this growth of all the nations, God comes to Abram and says, of you, I'm going to make a great nation. A chosen people, my chosen nation. A royal priesthood, a people holy unto the Lord. Now be patient, Abram. Believe me, like the sand of the shore, like the stars of the sky, you will be a great nation. He will also give Abram a great name. Names, right? Remember in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel? That story highlights the folly of grasping after authority and glory, of seeking to make a name for one's self. But here, God promises to give Abram a name, a great name. And when the promise is given, Abram, his name, it means exalted father. 75 and childless, his name is exalted father. And Sarai is barren. But God promises, I'll give you a new name as well. Abraham, father of multitudes. Wait for it. Wait for it, Abram. Don't grasp. Be patient. Wait for it patiently, faithfully. A nation, a great name. It says, I will bless you. Why? In order that you will be a blessing to the nations. All nations will be blessed through you. The life of active faith and patience is not simply for Christians a me and Jesus kind of a thing. It is a life of being poured out for the glory of God. A life of being poured out for the good of his body, the church. It's a life of being poured out for the life of the world. See, the heart of Christianity is and always has been a participation in God's redemptive work. That Jesus is reconciling all things to the Father, and he invites us in. The work of the Spirit to renew, to refresh, to recreate, and we're called to join in and to share in that work. This promise that all nations will be blessed through you closes up this section because all other promises given to Abraham filter into this one. A name, a nation, a blessing. Why? To be a blessing to the nations. Abram's to be a nation, a name, to have land, blessed to be a nation. All nations will be blessed through you. Now, real quick, what I want you to notice here, how many of these promises did Abram see the fulfillment of? The fullness of them. Think about what this is. He journeys on. He keeps journeying. He's in the land, but he keeps going towards the Negev. He keeps going. He journeys on. He didn't see any of these in their fullness, of course. He tasted only in part. He walked all of his days in patient faith, in a robust trust. As if to say, though I don't see him, though I don't see the fullness of his promises realized, though he slay me, yet will I believe. When Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, reflects on Abram's life, what he has to say is this, speaking of Abram and others like him, these all died in faith, quote, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city, end quote from Hebrews. So we too who sit here this morning at home or in the sanctuary, we are inheritors of promises. And we see them from afar. And we all long for that heavenly city. And so we join in the active faith life of Abram and we wait patiently. Now, Abram had not arrived yet, had he? He journeys on. Abram's active faith, his patient faith. It's not something that just takes place in his head or in a vacuum. It takes place in the land. God is sending him, leading him to the land. Verse 4 and 5 of our passage. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, God is leading Abram to a land where he will establish dominion. He will work the land. He will guard the land. He will bear fruit in the land. Abram enters the land that's inhabited by Noah's grandson. You can think back to the end of chapter 9 in Genesis. Noah's grandson, Canaan. Canaan fell under a curse and is still under the judgment of God. And so what we have here at the beginning of chapter 12 is that this near octogenarian Abram, he's holding fast to God's promises by active faith and patience, and he's entering into the fulfillment of the promises already in the land. Why so much emphasis on the land? Now, maybe in a rural part of the country like Nebraska, we find much of more value in land than other places, perhaps. But what's the big deal about land? Well, whenever you see land referenced in the Bible, think of its purposes, namely, a place for godly dominion and a place for worship. A place for godly dominion and a place for worship. It's not merely land. It's not merely for the accumulation of wealth or a sign of wealth. It is God's salvation in soil and crop, in house and tree, in community and home. Salvation has a context, and here it is called the land. If we look at growth and maturity, what's happening with Abram as he's journeying on? In verse 5, Abram took Sarai, his wife, and then his nephew, Lot, and then all their possessions that they had gathered, and all the people that they had acquired in Haran. We see Abram is already growing. He's bearing fruit. He's multiplying. Abram's glory and responsibility is continually increased. Where he was to raise family, a flock, and to flourish in a place, God has given him land for that. We see God's blessing Abraham with much. And as Abram remains faithful to God, patiently trusting in his promises of provision, God blesses and increases. It's a passage, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'm going to put you over much. It's the same for us. If we're faithful over a little, God's going to give you more to be responsible for, more of a burden, more work to be done, more fruit to bear. Well done. See, our tendency is often to desire some other place, maybe with different people and different opportunities. There's often in us a desire to serve humanity in general, because to see them face to face and to serve them shoulder to shoulder gets pretty messy. It's a lot cleaner to simply love God philosophically, but see, Christianity is really earthy. In fact, it's too earthy to live fully and faithfully in the abstract. Heaven is pictured as a new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down in which God will dwell with his people. In fact, Genesis 1, it pictures that all of creation is God building a house for his name. And we are called priests, that is, household servants, not just in this sanctuary, but in the world. What is your land for dominion? What are your circles of influence? The place that God has given you, the tasks that he sets before you on a regular basis. It is to these things, these people, and these places that we are called to first and foremost. What is required to remain faithful to the people, the place, and the tasks which God has given us? Whatever our vocation, as spouse, as parent, as student, as nurse, as neighbor, what would be asked of you to increase bearing fruit and dominion as you are faithful in the small things? I think we don't get a lot of stories of Abram's life, but as you picture him journeying on, all you need to picture is a guy that was faithful in the small things. Remember, his is a life of active faith and patience. We guard and nurture our land as we seek to establish and grow a place of worship. See, land is for dominion and land is for worship as well. And this is exactly what we see Abram do. Look at verses 6 and following. Abram passed through the land to a place at Shechem, to the yoke of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Abram's going to this place called Shechem, north of Jerusalem a bit. And in this place it says Canaanites are living there. The place is saturated, teeming with Canaanites. And God says to Abram in this place, I will give you this place. This land will belong to your descendants. If you remember in John chapter 1, Jesus approaches a man by the name of Nathanael. Remember where Nathanael is at? He is under a tree. He's meditating. He's approaching heaven in his thoughts and prayers. Now, trees in the Bible, like this oak tree here, they're images of altars, of miniature tabernacles, ways to approach the living God who is faithful to his promises. God promises yet more. So Abram, as God promises that this will be a land for your offspring, Abram in response sets up an altar at Shechem. The land is a place for dominion and a place for worship. Picture Cain and Abel at the gate of the garden, offering themselves and the fruit of their labors. See, the altar is where heaven and earth converge. It's a taste of garden life in the land, of garden sanctuary in the wilderness. It's a foretaste of the new heavens and the new earth. And of course, it must be received by faith. This altar near the oak, is the way to approach God, to commune with him. It's a ladder to ascend, a land to dwell with the living God. Abram sets up an altar, and then he keeps going. He journeys on, and he builds a second altar, verses 7 and following. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country, to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. What do you see Abram doing in this geography here? Not too far apart here, you've got a double witness bearing a witness to the truth, establishing the truth that God alone is to be worshipped. See, Abram is establishing a pattern for the life of active and patient faith in which his descendants are to walk. As we walk through the rest of Israel's history, we'll see these very places take up a lot of the life in Israel. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle inhabit these places at different times. Here between Bethel and Ai is an altar. Ai is an altar. And its connection with Shechem, there's a second altar. Abram is establishing this double witness in the land of Canaanites who are under judgment and God's wrath. He's establishing a witness, a double witness, saying that there is one God, the living God. To all the Canaanite neighbors, this is the one true and living God as he calls upon the name of the Lord. It's as if Abram is already saying the words that Joshua will later say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, feels like this story is a million miles away from us, doesn't it? Certainly, if we're centuries removed from Abram and his life. And yet, the patterns of Abram's life are established in order that we might be instructed how to walk with God in the way that Abram walked with God as well. Abram's life is one of active faith, and it instructs us in different ways. Again, for a lot of us, we dream of serving God, of doing great things, or simply doing something other than what we're doing right now. And Abram's life calls us to action, to journey on, to keep going. And it's not out there somewhere. It begins right here, right now. There's a lot of cries for action in our society today. And I think what Abram's faith might instruct us in is it begins at home. When the poet writes of Christ playing in 10,000 places, what the poet imagines for us is this. He says, lovely limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces, Christ plays in 10,000 places. What he's saying is that Christ is present here and now in the context in which he has placed you. Jesus died even for us in the here and the now, not in the abstract. Oh, we want a heavenly home, as Hebrews 11 reminds us, that Abram longed for that heavenly home as well. And yet we're called to labor here while it is called today, to walk and to work while the day yet remains. The Apostle Paul says he was being poured out as a drink offering, which is a life of praise in which others will benefit as well. See, faith in Jesus requires the same of us, to be poured out for the good of his body and the life of the world. Abram journeyed on. He gave himself to the work of God in establishing dominion throughout the world. Whatever that means for us, whatever the land in which God has placed us, whatever the vocation he is calling us to, know that Jesus lives to intercede for us, that he gives his Spirit to strengthen us, to encourage us, to comfort us in the here and the now. Ours, our life in Christ, is a life of active faith, and it's tempered in the fires of patient trust. For like Abram and those who followed him, they saw the promises far off, and they waited. For many of us, forever on the move, shifting and changing, will not settle down or root downward. Abram's life calls us to a life of patient faith. See, he awaited the fulfillment of his promises, even of a new nation. He had 318 fighting men. Eventually, he had his Isaac, but he still waited for the fullness. He awaited his new name, trusting with eyes of faith that God would make him father, Abraham. He awaited the land, the promises for his descendants to fill that land. And he waited, and he waited. Blessed to be a blessing to the nations. And he waited, and he waited. And from Abram we learn, do not give up. Do not forsake your first love, but wait for him. Wait upon him. One day he will make all things right. He will put all things to rights. But today, here, now, we still wait. And we wait, actively serving. For all the promises of God find their yes and their amen in Jesus. All the promises of Genesis 12 are fulfilled through Abram's long-awaited, and for him as yet unseen, offspring. And we too live in a society where this offspring of Abram often seems distant, often seems silent, often seems weak compared to the giants that surround us. Let alone the church seems pretty fragile. So disjointed, so we can new creation come through this, the body of Christ. See, Jesus is this offspring in which Abram's life pointed, in which Abram's faith hoped in. Jesus is the offspring promised, through whom the land would extend not only through the Middle East, but to the whole world. In fact, the whole of creation. His is the great name that is above all other names. His is the name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose kingdom encompasses people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. This offspring of Abram, whom he longed for, whom we hope in, he has died for the life of the world. And in fact, all nations will be blessed in him and through him as his dominion continues to spread throughout every square inch of creation. Abram's life is itself a promise. The gospel of Jesus Christ is in shadow form through Abraham's life. And as God called Abram, so he calls each one of us to live a life of active faith, a life of faith, patient faith in the offspring of Eve, who gave himself for the life of the world. And to that offspring we turn to moment by moment, that we might become a blessing to the nations, sharing in the reconciliation of all things to God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all of these promises, Lord. And though we see them still only in parts, we trust the fullness yet to come. For he has been resurrected and raised, and new creation is born in him. And so we pray that you would continue to work through this body and through your church throughout the world as you reconcile all things into yourself, that we might establish your kingdom in our midst, that we might renew your promises and your kingdom in our midst that our neighbors might see and behold our lives and give glory to you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.